Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, welcome to Breaking the Silence, and we just appreciate each and every one of you just joining us today. And we have an awesome, awesome, awesome show. If I sound a little excited, if I even sound a little bit older, it is because I am a grandpa again. So there's another one. We had my son, my youngest baby son, had him and his lovely bride. Had a wonderful little baby girl, Karina Lucille Williams, this week. So I'm just welcoming in my fourth grandchild, and I am just overwhelmed with how well Melissa, the mama, did, and Curtis, the daddy, and beautiful Karina has come into our world, and our world will never, ever be the same, especially theirs, being first-time parents. So keep them in your thoughts, and everybody's healthy, and I'm just as happy. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm just thrilled to death to have a grandchild close here in Sugar Land, which is right outside Houston, where I can go and love and just smell that baby skin. I just love that. It doesn't get any better than that. We have an awesome show tonight, and we have some exciting things that's coming up as we're entering into the holiday season. We have some things that we're going to kind of share with you a little bit later on, but honestly, if you would like to go ahead and mark on your calendar, Tuesday night, December 3rd, from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time, we're going to have a live worldwide video event, and it's going to literally be, I think, just awesome, going to be myself, and we're going to invite a few special guests to kind of show up at the door and tell us some of their holiday tips. But, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and that whole season, I know personally in my own life, is sometimes not the most wonderful time of the year. Sometimes it's not. And we're going to kind of show you how to deal with stress, anxiety, depression, coping skills of how to get through the holiday season. And that hour on December 3rd, Tuesday evening, right here on BBS Radio, we'll be on Facebook Live, we'll be on every live place that it can be put on that night, but it'll be video for the first time. So you're going to be right here in the penthouse with me. I may sit down at the piano and play a little ditty or two as we do it. It's just going to be a good time, but we're going to also have some great information for you, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, and hopefully our guest tonight may just drop in. I know Michelle Chalfont is going to our last week's guest. She's going hopefully to be calling in from the Caribbeans or something like that. We're going to try to work that out. And Michelle was a great guest. We had so many wonderful comments from last week. And if you haven't joined in with that, the adult chair free stuff that she was giving away last week, some free resources, do that. And you may want to listen in on her podcast this Thursday, because Michelle and I was interviewed on her podcast for that program that's going to be running this Thursday. So that's going to be exciting too. So just looking forward to so many things that's happening with this broadcast, with the book, with another book that's getting ready, hopefully, to come out. We're kind of shooting for, at least in my time frame, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope, will be the second in the trilogy of Shattered by the Darkness book series, and that'll be coming out hopefully like February, March of 2020. If you want to call in tonight, because I really believe you're going to need a notepad and a pencil or pen to write down some things that our guest tonight's going to be sharing. But make sure you know that you are welcome to call. Douglas will take the call and just entertain you and take good care of you before we put you on the air. And you can do that at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And tonight, the one neat thing about doing this, being interviewed and getting to interview people, being connected with acesconnection.com, is I have friends around the country. And I consider this woman a friend of mine, even though we've never met. And tonight we have Terry Welbrock with us. And it's an honor to have Terry. She is literally a trauma warrior, a trauma champion. She has survived and thrived in so many things. When you look down this list that we're going to talk about tonight, it will literally shock your socks off. And she's learning to cope and has overcome a lot of things with her CPTSD symptoms. And after 25 years of severe panic attacks, and she's used something that I want to get into tonight because I've never done this, but I've heard wonderful things about it, the EMDR therapy, personal research and learned coping skills along with the foundation of faith and positivity. And she's written a book. Listen to the title of this book, and you can get this book right now, called Unicorn Shadows, From Trauma to Triumph, A Healing Guide. I believe that's out. If not, she's currently finishing up, and we'll find out more about that too. And she's going to talk about all the traumas that she has dealt with in her life. She's got a therapy dog. She has three beautiful children, 26, 23, and 13. And she is in Ohio. So she has a psychology degree and just doing so many wonderful things. And one of the things I want to make sure you know about is her podcast is one of the most awesome podcasts around. I enjoy this podcast. I love it. It is called The Healing Place Podcast. She has a newsletter that comes out periodically. You have to follow her. You have to, and once you hear her tonight, and everybody's probably saying, well, Greg, won't you hush up and let us hear her? So I'm going to kind of be quiet and just welcome Terry Welbrock to the show this evening. Terry, are you there?
I am. Hi, Greg.
How are you, my friend?
It's so awesome to be here. Oh, my gosh, it's wonderful. I just love hearing your voice. You just radiate joy, and I just want to, like, reach through the phone and hug you. So,
you know,
yeah.
one of the best times I've had in interviewing and talking with people was that hour-long video that we did, and I just loved it. It was just like we connected, we just talked, we chatted, and I hope tonight's show is even better than that because it was just a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to this hour.
Oh, I so enjoyed having you on the show, and I felt the same way. And afterwards, our emails with each other, and just felt like I had found an old friend. Yes.
Yeah, this is great. So tell me about this Healing Podcast, Healing Place Podcast. It's around the world, right?
Yeah, it's been downloaded now in, when I last looked, 48 countries.
Is there 48 countries? I didn't even know there was that many.
I know, right?
I'm teasing.
I looked at the map and I was like, I didn't even know there were that many. But yeah, in interviewing, I think the coolest thing is I'm interviewing just amazing guests all over the world as well. I just interviewed someone from Thailand that's doing just beautiful work with communities in Thailand, helping with the orphanages and helping children that are in the, what is it called? I'm so drawing a blank. Like trafficking, the human trafficking.
Oh.
And so she's working to try to help save those children. And yeah, so just Thailand and Italy and New Zealand. I just interviewed someone from New Zealand and the UK and Vancouver. I mean, it's just in Texas. So yeah, it's just so cool to meet so many amazing people.
Yeah, you know, that human trafficking is something that absolutely blows me away. And in, I believe in 2 weeks, we're going to have a great guest that actually was in human trafficking from Houston. They took her to Dallas, and we're going to tell that story in a couple weeks. And she would be a great guest for your show. She is just so awesome. So make sure in a couple weeks you listen in on that. But that's just – I can't even fathom. For the listeners that aren't aware of you like I am, tell us a little bit about what you do, where you live, what keeps you busy all day long, and what you're passionate about.
Yes, well, I'm going to start with the passionate about. The passionate yes. about is shining the light of hope into the world.
Oh, and I love that.
Interviewing just amazing souls who are doing incredibly beautiful work, shining that light of hope into the lives of those who are most in the need of healing, and finding their way into the healing path. So I live currently in Cincinnati, but we just got exciting news.
Okay.
That we, chances are pretty, like 95%, will be moving to an island in the Carolinas. We are headed there next week to tour some high schools for our 13-year-old and then also look at some neighborhoods and some houses. So yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I know. It's a dream. We've always wanted to live there, and my oldest son lives in Denver, and so he was super excited for us, and then I have a son here, Jake, who's 23, and he's finishing up at the University of Cincinnati. And I said, you know, what do you think about this? And he was like, are you kidding? It's awesome, because then I can get on a plane and come to the ocean.
have a reason to go to the ocean.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, and by the way, congrats on the new grandbaby.
Oh, yeah, are you a grandparent yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, just wait. It's so awesome because you get to love him, and then you get to leave him there and go home.
I just think you get to hand them back when they have a stinky diaper.
It's wonderful. I am so blessed with the four most awesome grandchildren ever created. Of course, that's what grandparents think about all their children, grandchildren. But it's great, fantastic. Right. Now, Terry, has this book, "The Unicorn Shadows"? I know. You're writing it, or have you finished writing?
Yes, writing it. It's not finished, and that's one of those. You know, you wrote a book, and
oh, it took forever.
I just remember. I feel like it's taken forever, and I'm almost done with it. But there's that last little bit that it's my own journey of, is this worthy of being out there? And I've had so many authors tell me, I mean, guests that I've had on the podcast said, you know what, write it for you. Write it for you and put it out there, because the audience will find it.
There's going to be people waiting in line for this one. I really believe that, because you have a great, the newsletter and the resources that you send out and the way you write would have to be a big draw. And I want to review it and throw it on there and put it out, because it's going to be good. I just know it is.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, and I will put you on my list to send you a copy and say, hey, will you look at this?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be an honor. It'd be an honor. Looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
So tell me about your little therapy dog.
Oh,
what's that all about?
She's the sweetest baby. So she was just our pet. She's a Labradoodle. And a friend of mine works at a veterinary clinic, and she said when Sammy was little, like maybe a year old, she said, have you ever thought of her being a therapy dog? And I didn't even know that was an option, to have your pet be a therapy dog. And so we went through all of the training. She went through like a canine good citizens training, and then we went through the therapy dog training. And she is just, she was born to do this. And so we volunteer, Sammy and I do, one day a week at a local school, and we work with kiddos who are experiencing anxiety or maybe bullying or whatever it is that's going on, any trauma in their lives. And yeah. Sammy just, she just offers love and joy to these kids. Yeah.
That's and great.
Melts my heart.
Yeah, you know it. You have dealt with, and you're utilizing this EMDR to deal with the ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences. EMDR, I have heard so many people after I do some talks, they always come up and say, hey, Greg, have you tried it? You need to do it. It would help you. And it's like, okay, how has it helped you? How you utilizing it has maybe changed your life? Tell me about it.
Oh, I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say life-altering.
Wow.
It truly was life-altering because I went through all that horrific trauma the first 22 years of my life, then horrible panic attacks for the next 25 years, and I thought I'd always be broken, quote-unquote broken, and not be able to get over these panic attacks. And then I started back to therapy, and my therapist said, Terry, have you ever thought about doing EMDR therapy? And I was like, what the heck is EMDR therapy? And started researching it and found a wonderful, wonderful therapist here in Cincinnati. And as a matter of fact, she said, I'm not taking any new patients, but I had sent her my story, you know, the list of all that happened in my life. And she said, I'm intrigued by you and I want to take you on. So she said, yes, even though she wasn't taking new patients. And I was blessed because of it, because EMDR is eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And basically going back into traumatic events. So it was extremely difficult because I had to go back into the darkness. But as terrifying as it was, and how many times I sat there shaking and crying and sobbing, and I would leave each therapy session, and I did 4 years, 98 sessions.
98
each
sessions?
Time I left a little more hopeful, a little more had processed, and we had to keep going back, and we had to keep going back, but oh my gosh, life-altering, yes, for sure.
EMDR, and I tell you what, we are going to dive in and dig really deep in the darkness tonight, if that's all right, what you've endured.
Sure.
How, because I think there's people listening in. I hope they, if they have a thought or a comment or a question, that they jump in, because that's what this program is all about. And that's what you're all about, Terry, is helping other people. And in that, it gives us healing. It provides us even more healing and maybe some kind of understanding why we went through what we did. So we can help other people now?
Yes.
So in your trauma history, what kind of score did you have on that adverse childhood experience ACEs test?
In the black and white world, an 8 out of 10. In the gray world, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. I had an 8 out of 10, too. I thought we were about the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you explain that in the black and white? So you could bend some of the questions to.
Yeah, and the two of them are grayish, and one is, was your mother ever, you know, had a gun or knife held to her? And it wasn't my mother; it was my father, and so it was still horrifically traumatic for me, and so I count that as one. I count it as a yes, even though it wasn't my mother who had that done to her, but my father. And then the other gray was a parent ever incarcerated or in prison? And no, my mother, when she tried to kill my dad with a butcher knife, was taken off in handcuffs and taken to jail for a while, but not for long. Like, she wasn't incarcerated.
Wow.
I mean, like, in prison.
And so we're going to talk about
it's grayish.
Yeah. We're going to dive in really deep right after this first commercial break. Right now, I want everybody to write
Awesome.
down Terry, T-E-R-I, Well, W-E-L-L, Brock, Brock.com. That's where what you want to write down tonight. And make sure, well, maybe while we're going to this commercial, you can go ahead and pull it up on your iPad or your phone and kind of look and check everything out. Because when we come back, we're going to go in to some stories that's going to literally make you shake your head. And we're going to do that just as soon as we come back after this commercial break. Come back and join us back on Breaking the Silence. Brought to you by Breaking the Silence. Don't miss this worldwide live video web event, Hope for the Holidays with Dr. Gregory Williams, on Tuesday evening, December 3rd at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You know, holidays can be so stressful. It can really bring some traumatic emotions to so many people. This program is going to give you so much information, ideas, and coping skills on how to survive the stress of the holidays. So join me, Greg Williams, and a few very special guests for this worldwide live video event on Tuesday, December 3rd from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time right here on BBS Radio Network. Well, what do you know about that? That's what we got going on coming up on December 3rd. My son is just letting me know that right now you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Instagram page. And first of all, follow me on that if you would. We have that up and running. And you can get a link to the book release, I believe, that Terry is doing, and that's Shattered by the Darkness, or they can follow the link also right there on BBS Radio. So that's wonderful. Terry Welbrock from Welbrock from Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay.
Soon to be South Carolina. Woohoo.
you're looking forward to that, I know, because I don't think it snows in South Carolina very often. I'm from the St. Louis area,
exactly.
And I know I don't miss snow whatsoever, and I know you won't either. You know,
right.
Terry, when you go down the list of the things that has happened in your life, it's unbelievable. So let's start off.
I know.
With 4 years old. Same when I can remember. Start off with 4 years old. What happened to you then?
4 years old, an intoxicated parent attempted to hold me underwater in the bathtub along with my one-year-old sister and drown me so that, she had said to go be with Jesus and not live in this valley of tears, as she called it. My dad fortunately came in and found her doing so, and sadly sucker punched her across the room. And he ended up saving the day.
Have you always remembered that, or was this a recall?
No, I knew it had happened because I had flashbacks, but when we went into EMDR, I was able to go back into that and see my mother's face through the water. And I've talked to my sister, who was a year old at the time. She has no memories of it.
Right, right. So, yeah. You know, I believe, Terry, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe when we talked, probably what, almost a year ago, or I don't even know how long ago it's been when we had that interview way back when. You had mentioned something that has stuck with me and I have used, and I hope I'm using it right. You said something on the order that you know you are overcoming a trauma when either you're not looking down on it anymore and it's actually happening to you. Did that come from you?
Yeah, that. Yes, and it was so powerful. I remember the session. I remember the day. It was so clear, and I'm sure I've written about it in my journals. But we had gone back to the second robbery, and I know we haven't touched on this yet, but
right.
We had gone back to the second bank robbery, and I remember all of a sudden, you know, my therapist would always ask me, what's happening? Just notice what's going on. And I would be talking out loud and telling her what I was experiencing. And my eyes shot open and I was like, oh my God. And she said, what's going on? And I said, and I turned my head, you know, while the session was going on. And I said, I just saw it through my own eyes. In all the other returning to these traumas, I had dissociated so much. That was my coping skill to detach from it and almost be outside my body. And I had always seen it as if I was watching a movie of something horrible happening to this little girl. That wasn't me. It was just this little girl. But this time I saw this, I saw it from within myself. And I was there again, and I was back in my own body. That was huge. That was a turning point.
Wow, that is, and that's so true. That is so good. And I think if anybody's listening tonight, you do that. That's the coping skill that we end up doing. We put ourselves outside of it, and we're looking at it happening.
Yeah,
but. Wow, that's so powerful. Okay, then, you know, this traumatic attempt at drowning by your mom at 4, and then the snowball just starts getting larger and larger. A year later, what a neighbor did to you. Explain that.
Yes. I was playing with my then best friend, both 5 years old, kindergarten. She lived a few doors down, and we were playing in her front yard when her next-door neighbor, a 16-year-old boy, man, came over and asked us if we wanted to play a game, but it required us going into his house. And I was sexually molested for the first time with her.
Both were sexually molested by this 16-year-old neighbor?
By a 16-year-old neighbor, yes.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. And that was the first time he told me he would kill my mother if I told anyone. So obviously I told no one.
How, at 5 years old, do you remember how that affected you?
Oh my gosh. I think I harbored tremendous guilt as if I had somehow caused it.
Yes.
I know you know. What did I do? Why did this happen? You know, how did I cause this? And then not being able to tell and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be responsible for my mommy being killed if I say anything. And so to keep that secret and being forced to keep that secret, just what a burden. What a burden for a five-year-old kid.
Oh, my land, yeah. And then a few years later, another neighbor.
Yes. My mom, we had moved from where we were living to an apartment complex, and my mom sent me for a can of soup to the apartment next door. And when I knocked on the screen door, the mother wasn't home, but the 19-year-old son was. And it was in the days of, it was in the 70s, and so the hippies. And so I just always remember he was like greasy and dirty, and he just had on a tank top and bell bottoms. And I very much remember this. And he asked me to come into the apartment, and then he said, as he dangled the can of soup over my head, you'll have to earn it. And then he molested me. And that one was very harsh.
Without getting, you get detailed as you want, but in what way was that harsh? In what manner do you mean?
Because I think I was developing, and I was he was just very hard on me, and he hurt me. He hurt me in more ways than just sexually. It was physical pain that stuck with me. Oh my gosh, for years. Until I did EMDR.
So there was an actual physical pain involved. I mean, because sometimes, I mean, even though you're molested in a way of fondling or kissing or things of that order, there is a difference when it becomes physical pain. It adds another layer, I believe, of trauma, and that's what I was after on that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, Terry, I know we're kind of friends in the podcast world or whatever, but I'm going to you don't have
world
to answer
of aces.
This, but what kind of neighborhood are we talking about? Are these middle class neighborhoods, upper middle class?
No, we were, at the time, again, in the time it was the 70s. And my parents were struggling so I would say lower middle class.
Okay.
My dad struggled to keep a job. My mom was working 6 days a week in a bank trying to pay the bills. But my dad was always doing the get-rich-quick schemes and blowing through whatever money he could for his latest, job.
Right.
Company that he was starting and that would soon fail. So yes, we struggled. I think one of the things that I remember, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it with anyone, but I remember going out in the morning for breakfast, and apparently some neighbors up above us, we lived on the first floor, and the neighbors on the second floor were very dirty people. And I would flip on the kitchen light to get my bowl of cereal in the morning, and cockroaches would scatter.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying. And, my dad had a weird sense of humor, and so he would squish them and then chase me around the apartment with these squished. And so I have a horrific fear of cockroaches. And I tie it to that because my dad thought it was funny, to chase me around with these squished cockroaches. So, that was not pleasant.
With what's happened so far, this would be enough to hang in on into your life for the rest of your life, just what you endured already. But then you get involved, and I guess your family are in the Catholic world, correct? Of the Catholic faith?
Yes.
And inside the church, and we're not going to point fingers tonight at Catholics or Baptists or Methodists, because it happens in all denominations, all faith, any kind of organization. So we're not interested in that. But in the faith that you were involved with, stuff started to happen inside those walls of the school or the church, correct?
Yes, with two different, three. If we go into when I was 10 was probably my most difficult year. During those first 10 years of my life, my dad was also physically abusive. My mom was an alcoholic. So she would go out drinking with her friends after work. And when she came home, she wanted silence. And so she would scream, "Jim!" My dad was Jim. And he would come swinging with the belt. And so to silence the children. He got therapy when I was 10 and stopped hitting us and apologized to me for hitting me. But when I was 10, my choir director told me I had a beautiful voice and wanted me to stay after choir so he could work with me one-on-one privately. However, he would take me into his office I say molesting, fondling. Until I begged my parents to let me quit choir, and my dad finally agreed. He never asked why. And then I was able to get away from that situation. But also at that exact same time, I had a nun who was assigned as my counselor because I wasn't bathing. And so I was very dirty. And I've researched this now, and I found out that children will do this to keep the predators away from them.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yes. And so I, you know, at the time my parents would be like, you know, why are you not bathing? Why are you not showering, cleaning yourself? And I couldn't tell anybody, and I just didn't want anybody to touch me. And so they assigned me to this nun, as my counselor, who was one of my fifth grade teachers, and she would bring me into her office, and the psychological abuse was crazy. She would tell me, sit down. And then when I'd go to sit down, she'd scream, stand up. What are you doing? And I'd stand up, and then she'd say, why are you standing up? Sit down. And she, I mean, just, and then she was the one that told me, you're dirty and you're gross and nobody likes you. I mean, a nun saying that to a kid who was already hurting and already struggling, was devastating.
Wow. Okay. With the choir director, did it just happen the one time, or was it over?
No, that was on more than one occasion. Yes.
How often?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even remember. I don't know how many times before I finally asked, you know, begged my parents, please let me quit choir. Please let me quit choir. And again, you know, as a kid, you're just so, I don't even know how to explain it. I didn't know how to make it stop. I could, and I write about that, that the word stop was stuck in me, and I couldn't, I didn't have the courage. I didn't know how to get it to come out. It was screaming inside of me.
How old of a gentleman was the choir director?
Oh, probably in his 30s. He was married and had kids.
Yeah. And you know, when you respect the people, when you look up to the people.
Yeah. Oh, right. The authority figure. Right. Right.
The stop isn't even something that comes to mind.
Right.
Wow. Okay. And, yeah. And folks, we're just, this is just still the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, you're 10 years old. And of course your father physically abused. And, you know, I don't talk about the belt very often in my own life, but I remember the sound of, and I know exactly you do too, when they unbuckle it and they whip that belt out from their belt loops. When I heard that sound, I knew, oh no, here it comes.
Yes.
And it put a fear. I could hear that a mile away. And, then he would snap the leather
jingle
together. Yeah, it was like, oh no, here it comes. And I remember the worst whipping I got. I think I was right at 16 years old. He bit me over the washer and dryer, and boy, he just didn't want to stop. And that's wow, that's traumatic. So then you know, at age 14, you're still. Is this all within the same church? Or did you move? Okay, this is all in the same church. A different person in the same church at age 14 did what?
Yes, I was working in the rectory for the priests, answering the phones in the evenings and stuffing the bulletins, you know, with flyers. And I would fill the refrigerator. They had meetings in the rectory. And so part of my job was to fill the refrigerator with bottles of soda, those tall bottles of 7-Up and root beer and Coke. And I had gone down stairs to the refrigerator to fill it up. Now, this gentleman who was the religious education director at the time had been flirting with me a lot. I had gotten sunburned, and I was wearing a little dress one time, and he offered to rub lotion on it, you know, because I was so burned. And, I remember giggling and being like, oh, you know, because I didn't know how to respond to this 30-something-year-old man, and I was 14. And so he followed me downstairs to the basement and pinned me up against the washer and dryer because it's the basement, and kissed me and was trying to touch me. And that was the first time I pushed away.
Yeah.
And said, I think I hear someone coming. And then I took off.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, soon after that, my MO seemed to be running away from it, because I soon after quit that job and said, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. That's the way to deal with it.
To get away from it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
We're going to dig a little bit deeper, and then when get up to these bank robberies and things, and then we're going to find out how you got help from this, because that's the key to what this is all about. But we'll take the next break and join us on the other side of this break for Breaking the Silence. If you have a comment or a question, 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back with Terry Welbrock. Brought to you by Breaking the Silence. Don't miss this worldwide live video web event, Hope for the Holidays with Dr. Gregory Williams, on Tuesday evening, December 3rd at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You know, holidays can be so stressful. It can really bring some traumatic emotions to so many people. This program is going to give you so much information, ideas, and coping skills on how to survive the stress of the holidays. So join me, Greg Williams, and a few very special guests for this worldwide live video event on Tuesday, December 3rd, from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time, right here on BBS Radio Network. All right. That's going to be a wonderful event. So we just hope everybody joins us for that the first week of December, on December 3rd, 8 p.m. Central Time. And Terry, maybe I want to talk to you about, maybe if you would happen to ring my doorbell that night video-wise, and we want to see if you would join us and for a few minutes on that. I'm going to try to have a fun way of doing that. We'll talk about that after we get off the air.
I want to hear you playing piano and singing a song.
Oh, that'd be great. We could sing a duet, because you said you had a voice. We could. You're in Cincinnati and I'm here in Houston. That'd be so. I don't know if that's possible. We could try it.
I don't think you'd want to hear that, but okay.
I think my son has set up something to where we can do Instagram and Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness, and pushing your book, Terry, when it comes out. If people want to know when it's going to happen and where it's going to be and how they can get a hold of it, you can give right on Instagram and our Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness, and just tag into that, and we'll make sure we let everybody know when Terry's book comes out.
Thank you.
You know, now I want to not spend the rest of the time, because we only have like 13 minutes to get through all these rest of these events, but I want to find out how you got through all of this emotionally. But you know, after this stuff that's happened as your childhood and in the church, then you fell in love at 16 years old, and then it turned sour on you. Tell me about that, because that has to be a different type of pain, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
At 16.
No, it was. That was certainly with the trust issue, because, I kept saying no, and I kept saying no, and I kept saying no, and I kept saying no. And then he didn't take no for an answer, and I lost my virginity to date rape. And I think the harshest thing about that was it was snowing. He was having a party at his place, his parents' place. And he was 17 and I was 16. And as we walked outside, there was some snow gently falling, and just a little blanket of snow across the ground. And I had always been very proud of the fact I would tell, anyone that I was as pure as the driven snow, that, that I was still a virgin. And he looked at me and laughed and said, I guess now only the snow is pure and driven.
Oh, my lands. At 16. And then... Yeah. Was it, how soon was it when the attack happened at that age?
How many months? How close was that?
Just a couple. That was March, and then that would have been in September. So 6 months later, Cincinnati has something called the River Fest, which is fireworks downtown on Labor Day weekend. And I was there with a group of friends, and we were attacked by a gang after the fireworks. And one of my friends was hit with nunchucks and broke his nose. But I was pushed into a corner and sexually accosted by a group, a gang. But I was able to fight my way free, and I started fighting. I started to try to to use my my sense of saving myself.
Right.
Where I had frozen, you know, that whole freeze, flight, fright. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had always been frozen.
Yeah, me too.
So that time I fought. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so
then,
the fascinating thing about this list is now a police officer that is investigating this very gang attack on you. Is that true? I mean, is that what this means?
Yes.
He sexually accosted you also? The police officer?
Yes. Yes, he took me. He asked my parents if he could take me to dinner. We convicted 49 out of 50 of the gang members. And I testified a lot through my junior year of high school. I would go downtown Cincinnati and testify. And he asked my parents to take me to dinner, but he did not take me to dinner. He took me back to his apartment where, yes, he attempted to, you know, I say attempted to rape. I don't know what the definitions are, but in my head it was because I was able to fight back. And thankfully he had pictures of his children hanging on the wall. And I pointed to his children and said, they're watching. Mm. And it stopped him.
Wow.
So that was
unbelievable. And that was all up to 17 years old.
17. Yes.
And then these last two events is a whole different level type of trauma too, a whole different area. Tell me about this bank robbery thing, the two instances real quick, if you could.
Sure. So the first one happened in February of 1988, and I was 21 years old. The perpetrator, and I only saw the one, came into the bank and to try to shorten this up, sat me on the ground, put a gun to my head, while my coworker was attempting to fill the bag with $90,000 in cash. And he had been stabbed three times with a hunting knife. So he was bleeding profusely and I thought he had been shot. I hadn't seen the knife. This was done outside before he came in with them. And, but I do remember being able to see the assailant's face because he had cut his eye holes crooked in his ski mask and he had slipped it. So he lifted the mask and I turned my head. And at that point he cocked the hammer on the gun. But fortunately then, you know, my coworker turned with the bag of money and handed it to him. And so he left with my coworker as hostage. They got away. And then 3 months later, in May of 88, they would return, only this time to our main office, and I had just moved to the main office. My 19-year-old sister had just asked to go on break, and the girl that was shot and murdered by the same man that had held a gun to my head is the one that had taken my sister's place on the teller line. I had run from the back of the bank and came face to face with the second assailant who had fled from the bank when the police arrived. And he had a Luger and pointed at me, but it misfired and my life was yet again spared.
Well, I see why you're writing a book. I tell you what, this ought to be a movie. Terry, this is unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Somebody told me, I don't know if I believe in psychics or not, but somebody, a medium, I guess, said to me, you know, this is going to make a great movie when you finish this book. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome.
It is. But you know, the thing that amazes me when I look down this list, it's like wait, she's so happy. You're such a pleasant person. Okay, now tell me, in the time that we have left, how did you deal with this, all of this baggage and experience and trauma and rape, just things on top of everything? How did you make it through? How did you survive?
I'm telling you, I've done so much research, and my grandma Kitty was a huge factor in my life and this whole
Okay.
resilience theory of I'm she gave me love and acceptance without ever hurting me, without ever hitting me, without ever yelling at me, without ever, she just loved me. And it made such a huge difference in my life. I mean, she was my saving grace. And I think I held on to that. And then once I started healing after these horrific panic attacks for 25 years, I just started using everything I could get my hands on. I've done Ho'oponopono Hawaiian healing. I've done EFT or tapping. I've done the EMDR. I've done mindfulness exercises, meditation, nature walks, which now they call them nature baths, and just immersing yourself in nature. There's so much that I utilize. I have this huge toolbox of coping skills that I use to keep myself grounded and centered, plus just finding positivity every day. I'm that person that talks to the ladybugs, like, hi, little ladybug, and
You
just
are, or
look
you are
for
not.
joy. No, I am. I am that
You are.
person.
Oh boy.
I know. I
Okay.
admitted that on air. Yes.
Okay. Well, I yeah, okay. How and I know the answer to this. How often do you need some of this stuff to get through a day? Some of this
Oh,
research,
never
some of this
now.
to do what?
I say never now, but very, very, very rarely. Like, one of my triggers is driving over bridges and highways.
Oh,
And today we
yeah.
had to go to my daughter's basketball tournament, and I was so proud of myself, and I gave myself a huge pep talk because we were on the highway, and I didn't have any anxiety, and I didn't have, and I recently flew out to Denver to visit my son, and I said, I'm not going to take Xanax. I'm going to look at this as an adventure. And so if those feelings start to surface, if panic starts to arise, if my palms get sweaty and my stomach starts to flip and I get the tunnel vision and all of that, the heart racing, I'm going to just notice, as my therapist would tell me, just notice and see what's coming, see what's surfacing. And so I did, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. So I've flown 4 times since, and no Xanax, and it's an adventure. And that's how I'm looking at everything that used to cause me, used to be a trigger. I just am looking at it as a lesson that I'm working through still.
And the neat thing that I want to applaud you on in the last minute or so we have that, not only have you completed or not completed this journey, but you're progressing down this journey because we are all in the journey of life together. But you seem to always take time to help somebody else. And every time one of your blogs come out, every time you post something on ACES Connection, every time I get on your webpage and just read what you're up to, and it is always you're trying to help somebody else. Do you find great satisfaction in that? Does that help you on your journey?
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like this is my soul work. And
Yes.
when I came into this podcast and when I started writing and releasing and telling my story, I mean, sharing my truth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it just connected. I think there's soul connections to be had in sharing our stories and in telling the truth. Because the whole hashtag Me Too thing. I mean, look
Yes.
what happened there. And yeah.
That was a good thing. That was a good thing.
Right. I mean, just
And a lot of
an
people
explosion
looked down
of,
on that, but no, that helped a lot of people. And it still is. People are talking and speaking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I the first line in my next book is something on the order of, could it be that the worst possible pain that you have endured in your life is the key to the purpose for the rest of your life? And I believe the answer to that is absolutely, because you found it and you're helping so many people. And I want to invite everybody to just get on the TerryWellbrook.com website, get on her Facebook and Instagram page, like all of that stuff and hit all of that and pass it on and forward it on to everybody you can. And Terry, I just thank you so much for being here tonight. I want to do another program with you because we could talk another hour probably on each of these instances, but more about the therapy and how you made it through it. And I just appreciate you being here this evening and thank you for being a friend. I really just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, it's a joy, and I just feel honored to be here with you. And thank you for everything you're doing to shine the light of hope as well.
Fantastic, Terry. Thank you. And hopefully we'll get together on the Christmas special, and we'll talk about that shortly, maybe early part of this week, and get that planned out so you can come visit via the internet, and we'll sing a song together or something.
All right. Count me in. I'm in.
Hey, thanks, Terry. We just want to thank you so much for being here with us this evening. And I want to let you know that no matter what you've gone through and the list that our guest had tonight, that Terry had, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're in the middle of right now, no matter what you're going to go through tomorrow, there's hope. There's always hope. And never forget that. Keep reaching for that. Keep digging down because it's there. There's always hope. And this guest, Terry Wellbrook, is a perfect example of that. Thank you for joining us for Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Join us next week right here, Sunday evenings, 8 p.m. Central, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.